Get to Smoothie King today and try the new blueberry, raspberry, or watermelon lemonade smoothies. They're all made with real fruit, real juice, and no bad stuff. Just check out the no-no list at smoothieking.com. Try the new lemonade smoothies at Smoothie King today.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, and I am here today with Maria Liberati, and she is an award-winning chef, author, blogger, influencer, into entrepreneur, and a producer of her own podcast. Maria is a world award-winning author and blogger. She is also a fabulous professional chef, and she has won awards for her book, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. And she has a book series. And she also, like I was mentioning before, has a fabulous podcast. And she's a contributor to many national and international publications, multimedia journalist. And she has a lot to tell you about cooking. So I'm so excited to have you today, Maria. When I was reading your bio and I was looking at all the things you accomplished, I was just amazed how much you've done with cooking. And I'm so glad to have you on our show. So why don't you let the audience know a little more about you and tell them, all the things that you've been doing.
Great. Well, Stacey, first, I want to say thank you for having me also. I'm excited to be here and share myself and my life and everything with your audience, with you also. So yes, where can I start? My career wasn't originally in the culinary arts. It was really, I actually went to university to be a linguist. And while I was doing that, so I was studying French, Spanish, and Italian. And while I was doing that, I was also modeling. And fast forward, I ended up modeling in Italy and kind of really discovering all of my family there, because I did have a lot of my family was still in Italy, like my grandfather and my grandmother and my other set of grandparents came here, but they had brothers and sisters in Italy, and most of them did not come to America. So I had loads of family to meet. So I ended up going there. I was modeling, and all of a sudden, on like off times, I would try to, you know, find family and study a little bit more of my family. And basically my dad's family, my dad's dad had his family had this big vineyard in the mountains of Abruzzo, which is it's kind of south, but it's not real far south of Italy. They consider it southern Italy. So it's really beautiful. It's kind of still untouched. You have the mountains and the sea. So I ended up staying with them sometimes and studying, you know, wine producing, cheese making, bread making, all the things that they did there. And then my grandmother, actually, her family had a bakery, and they used to make this traditional bread that they make in their town. This was in another part of Italy. So I got to, you know, kind of hang out with them and study stuff and all that there, and actually found one of my great aunt's recipe books written all in Italian and kind of translated that because I knew Italian. So all of these things kind of added up together. And I really fell in love with food there in Italy. I'm sure if anybody has been in Italy, they understand what I'm talking about. It's not hard to fall in love with the food.
Oh, yeah.
So you know that. Yes.
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times. So go on.
There you go. You know. So I just really fell in love with the food there. And I also was a writer. So I did write while I was modeling. I did write for some fashion magazines on like natural health and beauty and stuff. So I started combining my, you know, writing with with the, you know, when I studied the culinary arts, I guess I'm kind of fast forwarding. So I ended up first studying the culinary arts professionally. I ended up working with, you know, at my relatives, kind of studying with my relatives, but then, and I was starting to do these cooking programs because I spoke Italian and English. So at resorts, it really came in handy to be able to have those two languages and, you know, speak two languages, since most of the people taking cooking courses are not really Italian. They're usually from right. other countries. So I would do that. And then I did end up studying the culinary arts in Italy formally. And then as I was starting to say, I started combining, you know, my writing skills with, I just thought, you know what, let me sit down and write a book. And I just really, I had to have people kind of almost forcing me to do that. Cause I'm like, people really like to read a book about Italian cooking. Everybody knows how to do this or how to do that, because actually, I took it for granted because I grew up in an Italian family, and
right.
that's what we just did that all the time, and we knew how to do that. So I just said, like, who's going to want to read a book about that stuff? And I ended up doing it, writing the book, but I decided, you know what, I love to read creatively too, so I made it more of kind of like a memoir, but just really stories of my experiences in these little towns in Italy and the recipes that went along with it. Because I just felt also that Italian food is really an experience. It's not just, you know, throwing ingredients together. It's really an experience if you
definitely.
Eat it, as you know, right? If you eat it in Italy, in the place that you're eating it at, and all the experience around, it just adds to the food. So I, you know, thought, let me just, you know, put that in and put all the experience in and the ingredients and all that. And that's how I did my first book. It's just called The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. And I came up with that title because I did study a little, like, in French and German and Austrian cooking. And the French cooking is very complicated, the traditional. And, you know, I just started realizing, you know, Italian cooking, it's like, it is like an art because it's so simplistic.
Yeah.
So I just, the basic art of Italian cooking, because it is really a basic art. So that's really how I came up with my first book, actually, is just from all of that and all that experience. And then fast forward, it just kept growing from that first book. So
that's
I did.
Amazing.
Yes. Yeah. It's, if you would have told me that I was going to get into the culinary arts, you know, before I did, I would have been like, what? No.
You know what?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go. What I was going to say is that when I, you know, when I've been to Italy, what I noticed is that we used to go to little family restaurants. You find them on the corner of the streets, and, right. you know, the food was phenomenal, and you didn't even need to eat a lot and you were full. And, exactly. you know, what I think made such a big difference was they were picking the tomatoes, and they were picking, you know, they were cooking the fresh fish and getting it in the water and bringing it, you know, to the restaurant, and everything was fresh. And maybe you can, like, tap in about the difference between how fresh ingredients, fresh food, fresh spices, herbs, you know, make such a difference in the taste versus, you know, food that, you know, might be processed or might have been, you know, not really as fresh, you know, how the difference between fresh ingredients and fresh food versus, you know, food that, you know, is not, you know, so fresh and, you know.
Exactly. And that is, you hit the nail on the head, really. So my mom's mom, she was from Italy, but I just want to, this story relates to what you're saying. So she loved to cook, and especially, like, on Sundays, we would be at her house, and all my cousins and aunts, we'd all cook the family meal together. And she would always just say, you know, like, she would get the ingredients and do the same recipes, But she, this was before I ever went to Italy, and she would tell us it's just not the same taste. And I never understood what she meant. But when I went to Italy, that's what it is. You feel like you're awakened by these tastes that they're real flavors that you've never had, you know, almost like you've never had.
Your mouth definitely.
Is like, oh my God. You know, this is what a real whatever tastes like. And this is what, you know, real tomato and real basil and real lettuce. This is what it really tastes like.
Yeah.
Of course, if you grow stuff at home, you know, some of that fresh feeling, you'll get the fresh taste. But still, the soil in Italy is really old and very rich. So you're going to get a lot more flavor. But yes, they do, you know, everything is just fresh. And the thing I loved about living in Italy, because I lived there for about 20 years while I was doing creating like series and then doing all these programs. And I even did a TV series, which I'll talk about. But so the thing I loved about living there was that, you know, it's always every day you're always shopping in the little town for all your fresh ingredients, you know, and you usually eat lunch at 1 o'clock. And you come home, bring the stuff home, and, you know, get ready to eat lunch at, you know, for your 1 o'clock lunch. And lunch is usually a bigger meal, but it's so much fun because every day you have to shop for fresh ingredients. So, and you're able to do that in the little town, you know, one store for your cheeses, one for fresh pasta if you don't want to make it, one for the breads, one for the vegetables and fruits. And so it was just really, really, that I love, that part I love.
Yeah.
And, but you're absolutely right. The freshest, whenever you cook, whatever you make, use the freshest ingredient. You know, lettuce is not just lettuce, or a tomato is not just a tomato. If you use a hothouse tomato versus, say, one that maybe you've grown in your backyard, or one that comes specifically from a farm that you know really grows those tomatoes, you will really, really notice the difference. It's just using the freshest ingredients that you can get, because the flavor is still there.
Phenomenal,
you know,
yeah.
When something has to travel miles and miles, you know, to get to your table, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that flavor just keeps dissipating and dissipating, along with any minerals or any of the good stuff that's in it for you. So you're really not getting everything that you should be, but you're absolutely right. It was like I had an awakening. It was like my taste buds were awakened by this incredible food. It is so important to use the freshest and the best ingredients for whatever you cook.
When I was in Italy, I remember just the tomatoes were so red and so big. I never saw tomatoes that size. And even lemons, oh my God. It was like crazy. I never saw such bright yellow lemons, and they were so big. And you would see women on the corners selling the lemons and the tomatoes. And I also realized that you get full with small portions. You know, like over here, you eat a lot more, but over there you could eat just a small portion and you get full right away. And I think it has to do with the freshness of the food. You know, I think it makes a big difference, you know?
It makes a big difference in many ways. Also, it helps your metabolism work better. So you metabolize the food better. And your body adjusts to the food better, you know, metabolizing it, because it's fresh. It's real, real food with real vitamins and minerals and everything that you need in it to, you know, help your body work efficiently, really. But that's absolutely right. You do get fuller, and they do, I mean, it's typical to serve smaller portions there. And, you know, the typical Italian way to eat is in courses. So, you know, like your first course is usually a carbohydrate. So it could be like a rice or pasta dish. And then they'll do like a second and third course. So that could be like a meat dish, or now a fake well, pig, plant protein. And then, you know, you might have a vegetable dish and then a salad. You eat the salads last because, you know, where we eat salads first here in the US, but they eat salads last because the idea is you don't want the rest of the food to get cold. So you eat the salads last. Because like if you're having pasta or risotto for your first course, you don't want that to get cold. But but what I was starting to say is, so they eat all these courses, but each course is a small portion. It's not like they have a bowl of spaghetti and a bowl of meatballs. And, you know, right. It's just a small portion of, it's almost like a tasting, you know, tasting platter. So if you go, most of the times, like if you eat in family homes, they'll just eat very simply and they might just have like a pasta dish or a risotto and then some cheeses and bread and some vegetables. But if you go to say a wedding or a dinner or something like that, then they'll serve everything in courses. Or if it's like a holiday, like for Christmas or any of the holidays, they'll do these multi-course meals. But again, they're just like small portions and it's almost like you're tasting, you know, tasting platters, tasting each, a little bit of each. And you're absolutely right. It does. They do. It does fill you up because of the freshness. Must be lots of fiber in it and everything.
Right.
Because everything just so fresh. But yeah, that, I mean, that's also like a kind of a secret to the deliciousness of Italian food is using the best and the freshest ingredient. Doesn't necessarily mean it's the most expensive, but it has to be the freshest, you know, the freshest ingredient and the best quality ingredient that you can find. Because most of the dishes, when I was saying like Italian cooking is simplistic, most of the dishes are really not made up of lots and lots of ingredients. So that's why you have to really get the best of each ingredient to make it a really flavorful dish, because you don't use typically a lot of ingredients. So, you know, it's because they believe in balancing, you balance out flavor. So you don't use too much of one or too much of other. So you taste everything. And if you don't get the freshest or the best ingredient, the best quality, then you're just going to miss it. It's not the same recipe, no matter what, you know, it's just not going to be the same recipe. So,
right. You know, to me, like food, when I see chefs cook, it's like an art. It's like, you know, they come out with beautiful dishes and they just know how to prepare it and make it look beautiful when it comes out, you know, especially in restaurants. And, you know, but what, like we were saying, it's not the same when you're cooking at home. You know, it's better because you know what you're putting in there. It's not pounds of butter. You don't know how long the food's been there and, you know, what the quality is. So what's your intake about, you know, I know I've heard you say that, you know, you should do most of your cooking at home. Maybe you'd like to talk a little bit about that and tell people why it's important to do that.
It really is. I mean, I don't like to say that because I know there's restaurants out there really hurting business, but you know, I always say it's fun to eat out at a restaurant, but it's not something you should be doing every single day of the week. You know, if you want to do that for a weekend thing, you know, or like one day the weekend, you go out as a treat. So the reason you should be doing that is because just what you said, you know what you're putting in the food. They're not, you know, when someone makes your dish, they're generally not looking at the calorie content or, you know, what quality of olive oil. They just have olive oil and butter that they're using for all these meals. So you don't know how much they're putting in. Are they putting in a lot of, you know, what quality of ingredients are they using? You just do not, you know, you don't know that. And what happens is generally, I know people that they go out to eat like constantly and they're constantly like putting on weight and, you know, in an unhealthy way, not saying, but you know, they're always like, I don't know why I'm always putting on weight. I'm eating like, you know, things that they think are not really a lot of calories or something. But, you know, it's all processed because restaurants have to do things quicker. Fast food places obviously have to do things quicker. So unfortunately, they do have to use things that are more processed. And your metabolism, you know, it just sits in your body like junk. It doesn't metabolize.
Right.
It goes, you know, to fat and things that you don't want. And that's what happens. So yeah, it's really important to try to cook at home as much as possible. Try to cook as much of your own meals. And I know it's really difficult, especially if people have kids and they're running, you know, work, kids, you know, school activities and all that. It is really difficult to do that. But if you can't do every single meal at home, then at least try to do at least one meal at home, or maybe you're, you know, two meals and then just one meal that you grab somewhere or something. But if you have to get something, try to make sure it's the least processed of anything. I always tell people, if you're looking for a quick snack, go to the fruit and vegetable aisle. You know, get they usually have peeled and cut carrots, or just get a fresh apple or a fresh peach, or, you know, fresh apple, wash it off. And that's a better snack than grabbing a bag of something that has like a list of ingredients this long that you don't even know what it is. So the best thing is the least processed items, the freshest items you can get. But yeah, it's really much healthier if you can eat at home and try to stick to fresh, really fresh ingredients. But eating healthy at home is the most optimum.
Now, for people that are like really busy, are there any recipes maybe you could suggest that are easy to make, that don't take a lot of energy, that they could throw together, you know, that would be tasty for their family and won't be so, you know, won't take so much energy to make, that it would be quick, easy, and so forth?
Yes. Well, like for instance, I know in the summertime, something quick to make is a cold rice salad. So if it's, because I know people usually don't like to have hot stuff. So you can make a cold rice salad, just, you know, you can even use brown rice or quinoa, which is healthy. And all you have to do is make that. I mean, if you really want to cut corners, I don't advocate using a microwave a lot, but if you need to do that, it's better that you do that than make something unhealthy. They do have brown rice and quinoa that you can use. Couscous also, you can probably do in a microwave. Couscous is actually a pasta that only takes like 2 minutes to cook, and you can make a cold couscous salad. That's really good. All you do is get couscous. Whatever, you might have vegetables or meat or cheeses left over from, say, the night before, just make some quinoa or couscous. Couscous takes less time to cook.
Yeah.
And put it in a bowl, a little bit of olive oil, and chop up celery. You can even buy celery already chopped up. Some vegetables, whatever your favorite vegetables are, cherry tomatoes, just cheese cubes. If you want to add tuna, you can add tuna, and, you know, drizzle some olive oil. If you have some fresh basil or fresh parsley, add that in.
You slept through your alarm, missed the train, and your breakfast sandwich,
ugh,
cold. Sounds like you could use some luck.
I'm Victoria Cash, and Lucky Land is where people go every day to get lucky. At Lucky Land, you can play over 100 casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Go to LuckyLandSlots.com and get lucky today.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And that's really a quick meal, and you can either do that with pasta, quinoa, couscous, brown rice. So that's a really quick meal. And that's something that's really, really easy to do and doesn't use a lot of heat, you know, if you don't want to use your range or your oven, which I don't like to use in the summertime,
right,
either, because it raises the temperature of the house. You know, as I said, if you need to put it in the micro, do it. But if you use couscous, it only takes like 2 minutes really to cook. And that's a quick, cool meal. you know, to make something.
I happen to love couscous, and it tastes great. Like if you grill maybe like a salmon or something, you know, outside, and you put those two together, it's like the taste is phenomenal, and it fills you up.
That's a delicious thing to do, is grill a piece of salmon. And then if you're using your grill for the summer, you're absolutely right. And then you serve it on top of the couscous, a little bit of olive oil, maybe some balsamic vinegar. And it's such an easy meal. And again, it's a great summertime meal also. You're absolutely right. And it does fill you up. And if you want to add some veggies with the couscous, like spinach or broccoli or something, you know, that you can chop up real quick, or buy it, you know, already chopped, if you don't have the time to do that, and just mix it in with the couscous. It is really, really good. Yes. And healthy for you too.
Yeah. And I have some family members and friends that are just like phenomenal when it comes to cooking. They don't even measure. They just know exactly how much to put in. And it's like amazing. And I consider myself an okay cook, but I'm not like, I wouldn't consider myself like a chef or a phenomenal cook. So for a lot of people, I talk to them, they're like, oh, well, I don't really cook good, you know, and they go out and they order food because they don't think they're a good chef or a good cook. Right. So for people who like, maybe they don't have that talent, like they don't, you know, they just, you know, aren't that great when it comes to putting together meals, and they don't have enough of confidence in themselves to try different meals because every time they try it doesn't taste that great. What suggestions would you have to them? Like, what tips could you give them to like help them with their cooking, to improve their style and their taste of food, so they can make easy, you know, food at home?
At home, exactly. Well, I grew up with just what you said, like my grandparents and family members, that they don't measure. And if you would ask them for a recipe, it's like, well, just a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what's that mean? So actually one of my relatives in Italy, who I forget, I wanted to know her recipe for these biscotti. I finally said, look, let me be there when you make them.
Yeah.
And I'll measure, you know, what you put. But I actually do the same. Like when I cook, it's really a little bit of this, a little bit of that. With baking, you have to be a little more exact. You really do have to measure and know what you're, you know, cooking.
Right.
But with a lot of pasta dishes, I have a certain amount of this or that I like in my dishes. So yeah, people need to develop their own style and kind of develop and kind of an intuitiveness to the ingredients, you know, get kind of a relationship with their food. So taste what you're doing. It's really not rocket science. It's not that difficult. The best way to do it is to just try. Well, I think the best way to do it is pick up a cookbook and try, you know, just emulate or do the exact recipe. From that recipe, you're going to be like, you know what, I think there's too much olive oil for my taste, because everybody does have different tastes.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, or I think there's too much salt or too much this or too much that. And then what you want to do is double back. And the next time you create that recipe, try to make it your own so that it fits what you like. And just, you know, maybe take away a little bit of olive oil, only use a little bit. Or maybe there wasn't enough, so you're going to add a little bit more until you get that recipe just the way you like it.
Right.
But it does take a little bit of, you know, kind of trying. But I always tell people, these are my recipes, but you need to use them. But, you know, develop your own style for your own taste, because these are recipes that I've developed and they're my own taste, but you might like a little bit more of something, a little bit less. So feel free to use them and develop your own style. So, but yeah, that's the important thing. People should try to develop their own style of how they like, you know, what they like. Maybe you don't like olive oil. I know people that don't like the flavor of olive oil. So try another oil that you might want to substitute: avocado oil, grapeseed oil. There's so many other oils out there to try. So, you know, or maybe you want like a lighter tasting olive oil. So, you know, there's so many different ways that you can switch up a recipe. And they're not, recipes are not meant to be written in stone. So I always tell people to feel free to switch up. You know, if you don't like, because, you know, the typical sauce, Italian sauce, has basil and tomatoes, garlic, onion, a little bit of onion, olive oil. And that's pretty much it. But hey, if you don't like basil or you don't like onion or you don't like garlic, feel free to take it out.
Right.
Try something else. You know, what I do sometimes now, I actually use, I try to make my dishes have more purpose to them. So in other words, I even do things like I add cumin or turmeric to Italian dishes, because they're really, turmeric and cumin are not, that tomatoes and basil are not good for you, but turmeric, cumin are things that are really good for you.
Right.
So it kind of adds another level to your food. So
right.
Experiment with that. I experiment with that all the time, finding these herbs and spices that have health benefits. And I add them into my cooking as well, because then it brings a whole other purpose to your food.
That's interesting. Yeah. It's basically like practice makes perfect. You really have to listen to your taste buds and go with what you really
go with what you really, exactly, with what you really like.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's great. And I know that you've written a couple of cookbooks. So can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I mentioned the first one, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. So that one was pretty much, as I was saying, like a memoir of visiting and living in these little towns in Italy and kind of discovering them, because I discovered the little town that my grandfather was from, where they had the vineyard and some little tidbits kind of from experiences in that town and recipes from all these places that I went to, and just kind of charming experiences with people, and you know, because the people there have a lot of character.
They do.
So that book is about that. And that the first book has the most basic, if anyone is just starting out, I always tell them, if you want a cookbook that is just very easy to use, that one has all the most basic recipes and the easiest recipes. And then my second book is called The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. They're all The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, but the second one is subtitled Holidays and Special Occasions.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So that one was all about, it goes from Christmas Eve to, let's see, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Each chapter is a different holiday. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I forgot La Befana, the Epiphany, which is in between, which is right after New Year's. So La Befana is the Christmas witch. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but that's a tradition the Italians have on January 6th. And then Carnival, which is like their Mardi Gras in Europe. So each chapter is devoted to a holiday. And of course, I have like holiday stories in there. And then there's a menu and recipes that go with it. And then my third, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, is subtitled Da Vinci Style. Because while I was in Italy, I started researching more and more Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah.
The things I did there just fascinated me. And the more I found out about him, I found out that not only did he do, you know, the artwork and sign stuff, but he also was a foodie and he loved cooking. And he invented some things for the kitchen that we use that were kind of hidden, because I mean, everything else overshadowed that, you know, the Mona Lisa, that's all people talk about. But he invented the fork and knife, like the table setting.
Oh, did he really?
Yes, he invented that. He invented the olive oil press. He also invented the rotisserie for the chicken. And there's so many things that he invented. And he was also a meal planner, a wedding planner. So the legend has it that he really did plan out the person that was the real Mona Lisa. He planned out her wedding, the meals and
really,
they had entertainment and all this. But the really interesting thing was that, so while he was going to school in Florence, in the main area of Florence, downtown Florence, he was in school with Botticelli, who is also a very famous artist. And so they needed to support themselves. And well, Leonardo da Vinci first became a waiter in a restaurant on Ponte Vecchio, which is like the bridge in Florence. And what happened one night was that the chef became sick, and actually he died of food poisoning, because then, who knows what they did. So he quickly became the chef of the restaurant.
Oh, wow.
And what happened was, though, they ended up firing him because back then they did used to serve food in these gigantic portions. And his idea was, I mean, the idea of bringing aesthetic value to the plate comes from Leonardo da Vinci.
Really?
So he started creating these beautiful plates with like small portions, and he felt that balancing your plate is like balancing the palette. You know, you had to balance the colors on a palette, you have to balance the plate. So he started doing that, and people were complaining because they wanted these gigantic portions.
Yeah.
So he ended up getting fired. And him and Botticelli opened their own restaurant. You can actually find some of this stuff on the internet. They ended up opening their own restaurant, which again didn't last for long because they decided to draw out the menu artistically. So you kind of had to figure out, you can find the menu online actually. And they did the same thing. Everything was served aesthetically in little portions and all. So that lasted about 6 months. But anyway, so it was really, really interesting. So I wrote this book. Each chapter is actually devoted to a town in Italy that Da Vinci lived in, because he used to get commissioned to do all these projects.
Oh, wow. And
we live in different towns. So each chapter, I think there's 10 chapters devoted to a different city in Italy that he lived in, and the recipes from that city and a little bit about, you know, what Da Vinci did. And then the one thing, I put a special touch in there, which are Da Vinci loved writing poetry, and he had some poetry in his notebook that was found about like different fruit trees and nut trees and food. So it was written though in old Italian. So I had a scholar translate them into English, and they're in the book also, to give you kind of a feel for Da Vinci. But that was really, I loved researching that book. That was a lot of fun. And then my latest book, there are two books that I just did. One is my book that what I decided to do, you know, there was the pandemic and I really couldn't get to Italy. So I had all these diaries that I kept while I was living in Italy. And I decided to turn that into a book series. So I just released actually the first one. It's called The Basic Art of Italian Cooking Diaries, and it's subtitled Seasons, because it's divided into each chapter is a season with recipes and stories. Actually, they're diary entries from that. Mm-hmm. Season. So I still have many more left. So I'll be making that a series. But the other project that was really interesting is I was selected to translate from Italian to English a book that is by an award-winning Italian journalist. Her name is Laura Donadoni. She's known as the Italian wine girl. And she's now living between Italy and the US, but she wrote this book that was, it was translated. The title is called How Wine Can Change Lives. And it's really interesting. It's backstories of these little family wineries in Italy.
Oh, wow.
So that was just released also. So they're my books. And then I do have a lot of other coffee table books that are devoted to one topic, like The Basic Art of Pizza, The Basic Art of Pasta, The Basic Art of Coffee, The Basic Art of Cocktails.
Wow.
Creating a custom wedding, The Basic Art of Experiencing Venice. And Those are all my books.
Wow, those are amazing. I love it. You hit a lot of interesting topics, things that I think a lot of people would have a lot of interest in. And especially when you talk about holidays, people get so stressed out during the holidays. And
they do.
You know, how nice would it be to have a book where you could just get some unique recipes that are easy to make that, yes. You know, that you wouldn't even think of making. And it's always nice to have something unique. People love to try things that aren't the everyday recipes, you know?
Exactly. And I also tell people, you know, it's titled The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Holidays and Special Occasions, but you can make any day a special occasion by doing a special recipe.
Right.
Then, you know, use the recipes in there for, it doesn't have to be a holiday special occasion. You can use it for really just to create a special meal also. You're absolutely right. Yes.
I love that. That is awesome. And mm-hmm. I, you know, I also was looking at, you have a podcast. So tell me a little about that podcast. I love it.
Yes. Well, so again, because of the pandemic, I was supposed to start a radio show and do a TV series in the US, and all the studios were closing down and locking. And every day it was like, can I come to the studio? No, it's locked down.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? The easiest thing to do is just start a podcast from my own office. And I decided, what I decided to do, I wanted to make it, because especially because of the pandemic, very positive. I just want it to be fun and topics that are fun that, you know, people can would enjoy listening to, and just kind of as a diversion, because I think we especially during that and still do need some diversions, need some positive things to just talk about or learn about, you know, and cooking is definitely a diversion. But the podcast isn't just about cooking. It's about, so the tagline is, it's the Maria Liberati Show, where food meets art, travel, and life. So we do everything from books and culture and art and, you know, cooking, of course, and cocktails and coffee and trying to think of anything else.
I love it.
So, you know, I combine a lot of things, home design, home garden, you know, DIY, do it yourself things. So as I said, just all fun things that people can do and, you know, or just listen to without any negativity. So
yeah.
I thought it's really important to bring this positivity out there. So that's my podcast. And I'm hoping to get my TV series up and running. I did, what I was mentioning is, so when I was in Italy, I did do a TV series for PBS that we filmed in Italy. And
wonderful.
Filmed it. Well, actually, some of it was filmed in Amalfi. You were talking about the lemons. Oh my gosh. The lemons are just.
Well, that's, you know, where I saw them, in Amalfi.
Yes. Yeah, and they're just like, you know, they're around, like, they're like, we have pine cones here in, because I'm in Pennsylvania. You have pine cones. You know, well, the lemons are just there. And I remember just, oh my gosh, lemons. And I picked them up and I took them to my home in Abruzzo when I was done filming. But it was just amazing filming there. We filmed in Amalfi and then Ravello, which is, you know, there's Positano, Amalfi, Ravello is at the very top, which was absolutely beautiful. So it was filmed in English, but for PBS here in the US. So I was planning to do a TV series here in the US, and hopefully I'll be doing that again. I do have a channel on Roku called The Basic Art of Italian Cooking by Maria Liberati. So that's a channel there, and you can watch some of my videos there. I do have some streaming videos from the podcast and from some cooking appearances and just cooking videos that I've done. So that's there also.
Now you have a website also. What's the name of your website again?
Yes, the website is marialiberati.com. And I have another one, thebasicartofitaliancooking.com. And then there's the website for my podcast, themarialiberatishow.com.
I love it. You know, you've done so much. It's amazing. And you know what? everything, people think so many things are hard, but with a little guidance, you know, yes. all the things that you talked about can be very easy to do, you know, yes. recipes for the holidays, Italian cooking, you know, yes. you know, making pastries and making different recipes, you know, during different seasons and the holidays, you know, just with a little guidance and using your taste buds to try to play around to see what you like, not exactly what you think the recipe should taste like, but what you exactly. like is, yeah. is a wonderful concept. I love that so much, you know. And
exactly.
Is there anything else you would like to tell the audience before we close?
I guess just, you know, as an extension of what you said, it's important to, you know, kind of dip your toe in the water. It's sometimes it's overwhelming. You're like, oh, I can't do this, you know, especially if maybe you haven't done a lot of cooking. It's like, oh, I can't do this, and you get all frazzled. Just it's like when you jump in the pool, you know, if you got to jump in the pool and just go ahead, jump in, you know. With cooking is just jump in, and just if you don't, it's just like anything else, just get started, just try, just pick something, anything, you know, that you can pick, and just start, and you'll be really surprised at how simple and easy it really is, just like you said. Yes.
Well, you know, Maria, this has been an amazing conversation. I love everything you've done. You know, you've accomplished a tremendous amount of things, and I just give you kudos for everything you've done and for providing so much great information to our listeners and, you know, showing them, you know, the steps of, you know, how to, you know, easily become, you know, a cook, and how to improve your cooking and how to use your taste buds. All these things were amazing, and your stories from Italy were just phenomenal, and you've taught me. When it comes to Leonardo da Vinci, I didn't know those things. That's amazing. You know, I love it.
Yes.
You know, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I look forward to maybe having you again, and maybe we could discuss some more things about cooking. Thank you.
Definitely.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Stacy. Thanks so much for having me. Also, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Have a great day, Maria.
Thanks. You too.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.